Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
I can recall a time I heard this story. I was in high school. We were in a directed meeting for worship, where instead of just settling into our Quaker meeting in silence, readings were sprinkled in to inspire us and our thinking, our prayerful time with God. I remember it was my friend Ellen who read this parable, and she was standing in front of me, with her back toward me, speaking to the other side of the room. As an 11th grader who was involved in too many clubs and with college applications on the brain, I thought this story was about using our God-given talents. I pictured myself standing in a garden of brown dirt with rows of unearthed seeds. The gardener leaves me with two other people. I bury my little brown bag of coins or talents, just as I was instructed. And the other two run off into the city to gamble or to do something with their talents. I was, as usual, just following the rules, as my teacher's pet self loved to do in high school. I was doing a good job of keeping things safe, keeping things steady and in order, because I was following the rules. But wait, I'm supposed to use my talents? Well, okay, I thought. Time to go audition for the school musical or become a biology major in college or something.
The truth of the matter is, it is easy to follow a God that looks, smells, and acts like a God I would like to follow. But it is hard to know what to do with a God I just don't understand. Rules are often really easy to follow, especially when we fear the punishment. But living life to the full, using the talents we are given, being alive out of love for a God some text makes us fear, well, that's a whole nother story in itself. Our readings this morning present us with just that kind of pilgrim's dilemma. On the one hand, our collect admonishes us to take seriously that God caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. And yet, who among us really feels motivated to follow the God that seems to show up in Zephaniah or Jesus' parable? Who wants to follow a God that seems to be more interested in judging, destroying, and casting out rather than gifting, loving, and forgiving? What am I to make of this life and future with God?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
As we've explored with our confirmation group during the course of our lives, we may find ourselves to be much like those characters in the movie Dead Poets Society. Young, vibrant, looking for all the ways we can come alive in the world, while struggling often with the big questions in life. There may be times in our lives when we want to rip some of the passages out of the Bible and pretend that they do not exist. Who really needs a God of judgment and wrath? Can't life be hard enough without having to fear the future as well? But remember, the collect this morning inviting us to hear, read, and inwardly digest the texts we are given, not to poke around and pick and choose the texts we like and we don't like. We as Episcopalians are called to something more than throwing out bits of scripture that we do not like. We are called to attend the Bible. We are called as a people of faith to pray that through the twists and turns of life with this living text, God will speak to us individually and communally. For me, I see this as a challenge. Because if we really try to accept all parts of the Bible, we can do it. Because we know this is a God-inspired text. And if we look deep enough, there has to be something true about it. But it's harder when we get to things that are not so distinguishably God-given. For example, arguments with your family, friends, and complete strangers. Maybe God is challenging us to see the truth in not just the Bible, but the people and ideas we see around us that we might disagree with.
Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
You know, the interesting thing about our gospel, this reading, is that it's a follow-on from last week's reading. And when I say follow-on, I mean it's the next sentence out of Jesus' mouth. Remember last week he said, keep awake, for you neither know the hour nor the day, right? And now here we have Jesus trying to tell us to carry on. Lest we forget, Matthew's gospel was not written for the masses. Matthew's gospel was written for insiders, for those who had already risked their lives to follow the Jesus. And so, this teaching was meant for the strong. And it was meant to encourage the people of agency and faith that in their lives, as in ours, we have to trust God's trust in us to go and do likewise. To go and to apply ourselves to the practice of wisdom.
And maybe this is what Paul is trying to say to that community at Thessalonica. And remember that something we too need to hear, and remember when difficult texts and situations intersect with our lives, God did not create us for wrath, but for salvation, for life. Even though they may be times that are so confusing and so hard that all we want to do is scream at God because we think that she's forsaken us, and even though they may wither, and even though they may often be filled with struggle, they are alive. Because when we think about it, love without anger and pain is not love at all.
Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love that all may live.
About 2 months ago at school at Candler, when we were meeting as an advisory group, today's gospel reading resurfaced for me once again. Our teacher asked us to think about faith and finance theologically. What does it mean to take out huge loans, move to a new city, to uproot the family, to disturb family expectations or preconceptions, to study theology for 3 years with an unknown plan for the future? She asked. I brought up this parable because it was stuck in my head, probably since 11th grade. And the truth of the matter is, probably for good reasons. I, like all of you, really want to give God and our community my best self, a self stripped of selfishness and old ways. I, and perhaps you, want to come alive with God. And not because I'm scared of what might happen to myself in God's judgment down the road, and not because I feel worried that Jesus is going to cast me out into the darkness, but because discovering how to be alive in God, with God, is probably the most dangerous journey any of us can take, and certainly the most crucial. And thus, it is worth the risk of those first uncertain steps and those follow-up exhausted and overwhelmed steps, building a faith we could not imagine in a new God-given community. Who knows? God can surprise us in the most unexpected, wild, and alive ways.
The truth of the matter is, it is easy to follow a God that looks, smells, and acts like a God I'd choose to follow. But fortunately, faith is so much more beautifully complicated than that. We are all living this epic adventure of a life, all the way back to the dust, as the psalmist says. And it is there, and only there, that we will understand the magnificent inner workings of God, and quite possibly, ourselves.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.